currently to the First Epistle of Peter. First Peter chapter 4. What's on my mind is to speak a little word about time. And I'm going to read four scriptures with you that will emphasize this subject of time. Let's just read from verse 1 for the connection. Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatry. Then they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick or living and the dead. Now, I'm thinking of the words of verse 3 in particular. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we might look down at verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. They that weep as though they wept not. They that rejoice as though they rejoiced not. They that buy as though they possessed not. They that use this world as not abusing it, or using it to the full. For the fashion of this world passeth away. Now once more, one particular verse 29 here, I want to emphasize. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Now, we'll go over to Ephesians, chapter 5, to a verse which was quoted in prayer here this afternoon by the last speaker. Ephesians chapter 5, and again, we'll just read a couple of verses before, verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then if you walk circumspectly, not as fools or unwise, but as wise. Now here's the verse. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we'll once more read a couple of verses before the one which I want to lay stress on. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now these words in this last verse, which we've been reading, verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Those are the words I want to emphasize here. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, it's the time past of our life. Our life. Let us call that a regretted time. In 1 Corinthians 7 and 29, the words, the time is short. Let's just speak of that as a rapid time. Just another word for short. And then Ephesians 5, 16, redeeming the time. Well, here's a redeemed time. 1 Timothy 6 and 19, which we have just read, here is the recompensing time. Against the time to come. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. It's coming. So that very simply, let us think of these four aspects of time. There's many references in the New Testament, in the epistles, of course, particularly, many references to the unconverted past of believers. It seems that God would continually humble us with such a recollection as our past life, the way we live, the way He found us when He saved us. Think of the Ephesians chapter 2 just as a very, very good example of this kind of thing. Paul says that to the Ephesian Christians, remember that in time past ye were Gentiles, according to the flesh. That at that time ye were without Christ. Ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's the spirit that was working in you. The evil spirit. You see. Now, we all remember such a time in our lives, very regretfully. Do we remember? All such time must be regretted a thousand times over. And God knows that those of us who are saved here today, when we do think about those past years, I was saved myself at a fairly young age, just over 16. But oh, how I've wished over and over and over again that I'd been saved much earlier. I can sing very intelligently and experientially going over the past years I spent in vanity and pride. Or perhaps the words of that other old-fashioned hymn, oh, the years of sinning wasted. Could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior to His will, I gladly thought. Now you have sang such words as that, or such sentiments as that anyway, perhaps another hymn. All that time, the time past of our lives, says Peter, all that is a most regretted time. what was said regarding the disqualified Nazarite in Numbers chapter 6, the days that went before are lost, can be said about the time past, the unconverted time of our lives before God had saved us. Now Peter seems to say here, in other words, to these believers, we had enough of wasting our time and our lives in self-pleasure. The time past of our lives ought to have sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. That's enough. We ought to have had enough of that. No more. Now, he's saying also, in effect, the rest of our time, the rest of our lives should be lived to the will of God. So, there we have the first aspect of times that I'm thinking about, these four different times. We have the time past of our lives, a most regretted time. We can't forget it. And we can't forget those years. And God also knows we can't forget the sin. I heard a man, well indeed, he said it to me personally. He happened to be a Baptist pastor in Winnipeg. I had occasion to talk to him about some matter. And we got to speaking about Christian experience and so on. And he said, you know, there was a man showed me things 30 years ago. Pictures. Evil pictures 30 years ago. And he says, I can't forget them. They still come up in my mind at times. Well, I thought, then, it's a pretty long time. 30 years, and those things still keep coming back. So now, I'll soon be saved 46 years myself. And I'm very sorry to say that the sins of the past life, even a young fella from 16 years and downward, many of those things still come into the memory. We wish we could get rid of the whole thing and forget it altogether. We would think of how God was insulted in our lives. How His holy throne was outraged with the kind of way we lived and the things we did. And we marvel at His mercy that didn't send us to hell long before. The time passed of our lives. But oh, the gratitude that should continually produce within our hearts. As we think, heart, well, God saved me in spite of all I was and all I did and all the time I lost and wasted. The time passed of my life, it's all under the blood in His truth. Never to be remembered by Him anymore. The gratitude and the very adoration of our being that it should draw forth continually as we reflect on what He has done for us. Now, what about the rest of the time? From the time that you got saved, the time that I got saved, right on to the end of our earthly sojourn, whenever that may be. Let it, says Peter, let it be lived to the glory of, to the will of God, doing the will of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 7 and this verse 29, Paul says the time is short. Rough it, rough it time. they tell me that the verb literally signifies here has been drawn together. Time is short. It has been drawn together. So as to be little in amount. That appears, according to the authority, to be the literal idea. The same words are used in the book of the Acts, chapter 5. About the winding up of the body of Ananias when he was struck down dead. The young man came in and they wound him up. Went out and buried him. Now those words, wound up, that's the word here, the time is short. Wound up. People use an expression today, wrap up. The thing is wrapped up. All is wrapped up and so on. Perhaps, really, that's the significance here. Contracted. So, it indicates here the time in which our life circumstances are to be viewed in the light of the return of Christ. Now, I believe, and I've looked into this verse and it's studying its context and so on. I've looked into it quite a bit. And so far as I can see, the words, the time is short, are used by the apostle with reference to the coming of Christ, to the coming again of the Lord. He's not making a statement merely that, well, time is short in general, or life is a very short thing. It's all that. Life at best is very brief, as we sing, like the falling of a leaf and so on. Plenty of scriptures, which we often quote and hear quoted, are what will come to mind. My days are spent as like a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope, Job said, way back long ago, in the book of Job. And, many other scriptures would come into our minds about the shortness of life. What if I do, or you do, live to 70, 80 years of age? What is it? In comparison to the unending ages of eternity that will keep on rolling to the end. What's a handful of years lived here and passing over the stage of earth? But I say again, the words, and I would encourage you to look into them yourself, the inner setting, the words seem to be used with reference to the coming again of the Lord, though that is not mentioned specifically. He's speaking about life's ordinary circumstances. People that are married, people that are caring for the things of this life in one way and another, people that are buying, possessing, all the daily round and the common tasks of everyday life, all these things, the apostle is saying in effect, are to be held loosely. In view of the any moment return of the Lord. The time is short. Now, I will only just mention men like W. Vine, John Herring, known to our friends here from England, and quite a number of others I could refer to that are satisfied that is the point that's emphasized here. Vincent Robertson and a host of others. So, the whole of life itself, while being admittedly brief, as the scriptures tell us, the thought is that The coming again of the Lord is so near at hand. It's so close. Paul's saying, live your lives in such a way that you realize I'm only going to be here for a very short period. He's coming. And he may be here at any moment. So the eternal then will be held firmly. And the temporal and the transient and the mere tangible thing of time and sense, they'll be held with a very loose hand. Those are not the things that I'm living for as a believer. In the words of Paul himself in Romans chapter 13, and that he says, knowing the time, that it is now a high time to awake out of sleep. And he's speaking to Christians. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light and so on. The time is short, a lot of time. Young believer here this afternoon and older ones, it can only be but a very short, rapid time indeed ere the Son of God comes to the clouds of the heavens, when the Lord's voice will be heard, that assembling shout will be given, and will be raptured in a moment of time, 1 Corinthians 15, the twinkling of an eye, it'll all be over. And will be eternally with himself. I can't help but believe that the coming of the Lord will be realized in my own generation. I am not saying that I will live to see the coming of the Lord. I may die today. But in my generation, I repeat, I cannot help but believe with deep sincerity that the coming of the Lord will have been realized. It will have taken place. Now, here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says that redeeming the time because the days are evil. These words, redeeming the time. Admittedly, a better way to express the words would be, buying up the opportunity. Some of the margins, many of your margins probably give that rendering, and it's not a bad rendering. It's not the usual word for redeem, nor the usual word for time. As I recall, redeeming the time, but it's the thought of buying up, buying, because to redeem, of course, is to buy, it's to do much more than that. When the Lord redeemed you and redeemed me, he did much more than buy us. Even denying the Lord that bought them, it said of an apostate who will go to hell. Unsaved people who are bound for hell and who will be there have never been redeemed. They have been bought. He bought the field, Matthew chapter 12 in the parable, for the peril of great price. But you and I are spoken of, and only you and I who are saved are spoken of as being redeemed. The power of the Lord has been used to bring us out of this world altogether, that he might redeem us. I think we were hearing the word yesterday, Titus chapter 2, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, that he might Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, deliver us out of this present evil world. Now that has been accomplished. Only for the sake. But however, thine up opportunity. That seems to be the literal thought. What's the price for the buying up of the opportunity? The price would certainly be personal watchfulness and self-denial. If I'm going to day by day buy up opportunities that are at hand, then there will be that personal watchfulness on my part and that self-denial. A good bit of it we've been hearing regarding in the race and in the game of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and also the minister yesterday, Hebrews chapter 12 and so on. Now all opportunities of serving and pleasing the Lord are to be bought up while they can be bought. Just as we might tie up items of one kind and another that we know are soon going to be out of stock. That are soon going to be unavailable. Who of us does not take advantage of various things, various items, whether it be in the grocery or hardware or any particular kind of market, we understand those things are going out of stock, or they're going at a particular special price now. We want to buy them up. If we need them, we want to buy them up while we can. Our Lord said in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. If he said that, how much more we? How much more the necessity of we entering into that spirit? I must work the works of him that has saved me while it is day. The night coming. Putting something into my life for God, in other words, every day that I do that, everything that's accomplished, however simple, everything that's accomplished in my life for God, we can look at as redeemed time. Time has been redeemed. Opportunities have been bought up. And the more so, as Paul says here, because the days are evil. Iniquity abounds. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Opportunities to buy might well become fewer as the age lengthens and our Lord returns. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Who knows? To give it an application for ourselves today, the days are evil. Because the days are evil, giving it, I say, an application to ourselves and to our circumstances of today, who knows? But the things we are quite capable of doing for the Lord right now, we may be prevented from doing within a very short period of time. The laws of the land may change, and the liberties that we are presently enjoying to go and have your open air meeting in the mall or anywhere else may be withdrawn. No, you can't do that anymore. It's against the law. Door-to-door visitation. That may be stopped. It's quite conceivable that such things can be ruled against by the powers that be, and that ends them. Though those are a couple of examples,
lots of things that were taken for granted, and oh yes, they're there, and there's abundance of opportunities in every hand, easy to do these things. But oh, the days are evil, and they're going to become increasingly evil. And while we have opportunity, while we have the opportunity to redeem time, the Lord help us to really go in for in every conceivable fashion, whether it be the passing out of the gospel paper, the knock on the door, the writing of a letter in the mail to a soul that needs salvation, or to a saint of God that needs encouragement, or whatever the opportunity for good and for God might be. May the Lord help us to embrace these and make full use of them, because we may soon have them beyond our reach altogether. Let each of us, just to be down to earth and to be perfectly practical, let each of us ask ourselves. Here we have begun a new week. Take the week that's gone, just the last week. Let me ask you, brother, sister, here this afternoon, can you look back upon last week and look upon opportunities that were bought up? Have you redeemed time last week? Is the whole thing gone? Is the 7 days gone of last week? And you can't think of a specific thing that you've done for God, an opportunity that you've bought for the Lord in some way or another. Surely your life is not going to go on like that, if that be the case. Oh, may the Lord stir your heart today and stir us all. Now, I want to finish with this thought of a recompensing time in verse 19 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Against the time to come. The antithesis of the time to come seems to be in this world. Put the one against the other. The time to come, in this world, just like the antithesis of a good foundation is the uncertainty of riches. Contrast the one with the other. Riches, earthly riches, money, the uncertainty of all that, against the good foundation, against the time to come. Now, the principle of doing good with material riches is touched upon here. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trusting in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to his joy that they do good. And be ready to be rich in good works and ready to distribute, willing to communicate, and so on. Now, this can be applied to all believers, whether we're blessed with this world's goods or not. It will make no difference. Everything I am and do for the Lord now is sent on before. So this is the thought. That they laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. It's as though there's a bank account in heaven, so far as the materially rich are concerned, and let them lay up in store in that bank a good foundation against the time that's coming. Just as we weave up an ordinary bank account
here on earth. Now, when the Lord comes, and we have heard this subject touched upon already, when the Lord returns, so far as I can see, the first thing after the rapture will be the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be there, and I'll be there. And we shall be manifested
as we never were in all our history, in all our being. I have been struck, impressed many times with those words in Romans 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the three principal chapters that deal with the judgment seat of Christ. I have been very much impressed with the individuality of the appraisal that day at the judgment seat of Christ of every one of us. In fact, that's the expression, each man, each man, each man. Not judged en masse, as it were, but every man, each one, each person, according to his works. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, tells us about the possibility of being saved, yet so as by fire, for the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, not try the man himself, but the work. He's not going to be burned, but the work will be. Purgatory used to be taught. I don't know how they get on with it today, those that teach it. But it used to be taught from such scriptures as 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And they used to get this idea worked into it, about the fire and the burning. Well, now it's not the person that's going to be burned, but the work. But he himself shall be saved, and so is by fire. But you know, the possibility is held out there in that section of 1 Corinthians 3 when the apostle is dealing with this subject, this very grave, deeply grave subject of the judgment seat. He shows the possibility of a person, a Christian, having his life's works treated as wood, hay, and stubble. All combustible. Big and showy, like hay, wood, and stubble, but all consumed by the fire, the judgment seat of Christ. On the other hand, of course, there's the gold and silver and precious stones, things which are not combustible, and which will stand the test of the fire, the judgment of the Lord in that day. Now, let us ask ourselves, dear brethren and sisters, against this time that's coming, this time of recompense, will it be, to use those words, gold, silver, and precious stone, for you, for me, will it be? Will it be anything answering to that? Gold, silver, and precious stone? Will the Lord find that about what we have done here upon earth? And the lives we have lived, and the testimonies we have had, there's been enough for glory to himself that it can be treated like that gold, silver, and precious stone. Or, will it be wood, hay, and stone? Is it just a matter of, yet he himself shall be saved? Yet so is by fire? Maybe you could think of Lot. That Old Testament character, Genesis chapter 19, a believer, a saved man. You wouldn't have thought it to read his historical account in Genesis, but Peter assures us in 2 Peter chapter 2 that he was a righteous man, saved man. But look at him as he leaves Sodom. And what has he gone out with? He's gone out with nothing. He has left his house. He has left his money. He has left all that he has put his energies into, and the whole thing has been burned up with a fire and brimstone from heaven, and he's getting out. And he hasn't even got his wife at the last, only two daughters to help disgrace him whenever the three of them go out. Saved just by the skin of his teeth. Will it be that kind of saving for you and I? Now, our soul salvation, that's not touched whatsoever. The wicked man of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. But is that all? The blood of Christ has answered for my spiritual condition. All my sins, whether you think of the past ones or the present ones or if there's to be future ones, all have been dealt with already at Calvary. And there's no condemnation, no judgment. So then they're in Christ Jesus. But my life as a Christian, my service for the Lord, my testimony, these are the things that must be appraised by Himself. What were the motives? Well, is it going to be well done and good and faithful servant? Are those the words that will be ringing in my ears, leaving the judgment seat of Christ? Oh, wouldn't we covet earnestly to have just that much? If only we could just have that much. If there's no other evidence of reward of any character, of course there will be. But if there's only that, just to have him say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't it be worth a lifetime of misery for himself down here below? A lifetime of torment. We had to go through it. As the hymn says, oh, how shall recompense his smile the suffering of this little while. Well, Brother Ben has been telling us already that it's not a question of selfishness and wanting to receive crowns from the Lord. Of course. So we read about the elders in Revelation chapter 4 that they cast them before his feet. That they threw them, as it were, at the feet of the Lord in saying, thou art worthy. You're worthy of all that ever we have received. Anything we have ever done, it's all for thee. And they're only giving him more glory. They're only exalting him by casting their crowns at his feet. Well, you and I have a crown to cast at his feet. The old hymn says, will there be any stars in my crown? We've sometimes wondered, will there be any crown for some of us to put the stars in, if there's such a thing as the stars? Well, now our time has gone. And I trust this little practical word will harmonize enough with all that has gone before to leave a solid and permanent impression upon all our hearts and minds. As we think of time, as we think of the past, and as we think of the rapidity of the coming of the Lord and the little time we have left before He's here. And as we think of the opportunities that must be bought up here and now, redeeming the time, in view of the fact that there's a time to come, namely the judgment seat, and will I have a good foundation laid up there, awaiting me in that day of review and reward.